Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Matthew chapter 14. We'll start with verse 34. Now, this is after, you know, you've heard about, you don't have to be in church long. You've heard this, you know, the historical account of where Jesus walks on the water and his disciples are amazed and he kind of catches up with them. They're on a boat. And it says this in verse 34 of Matthew chapter 14. It says, "And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought him all who were sick, and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well." I'm going to read it to you also from the New International Version. I just read to you from a version that's called the English Standard Version. I'm going to read this also from the NIV. And just want you to kind of listen and take this in. "When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak or the hem of his garment, and all who touched him were healed." One thing I want us to notice as we just look at this passage of Scripture is that they came to a place that they recognized him. That this is Jesus. It was much of a recognition as you would kind of be going through your day, and somebody that you have seen before that you didn't necessarily anticipate seeing. And you look down aisle 3 at Walmart and you see someone that you know. Okay? Wait, I always pick aisle 3. I don't know. Aisle 7. You're walking through the store, you're walking through the marketplace, you're stopping somewhere to pay a bill, you're filling up at Quick Trip or wherever, and over at pump number 4, you have, hey, I recognize that person, and this happens to me. You know, I recognize someone, and I, you know, wave or get over there to talk to them, or they happen to recognize me and they come over and we chit-chat and all of this. And sometimes you have somebody else that you recognize or you were with, and all of a sudden you introduce them to each other, right? There is this recognition that goes on. Well, Jesus shows up, and all of a sudden there's some people who recognize him. Now, when you recognize somebody, it's not just this physical feature that you recognize. It is also what you know about them. It was interesting. I had to officiate and do a funeral on Friday of someone who is not connected to this church. I don't remember, you may remember, I don't know, a couple weeks back where there was in the paper a gentleman named Billy Kramer who drives semi, was with his wife, and was killed in Arkansas while he was driving his tractor trailer. He was from Sparta area. And they called me to see if, because they were not affiliated anywhere, if I would take time to do the funeral, and of course met with the family and did that. As I was coming to the funeral service, there was a fellow who was going to do the eulogy. They were going to talk about Billy because they knew him. And as I saw him, I kind of recognized that I bumped into him somewhere before. But when I heard him get up and begin to speak, it was his voice that really triggered a memory. It's like, I know this guy. I have met him somewhere here before. I'm recognizing this. There's something about him. And come to find out, he was previously, from where he's working now, he was previously a tech at the auto oil change, all of that, over at Walmart. I said, that's it. That's where I've seen you. And there was this recognition that came back. And then as I saw him and talked with him, I remembered the impression that I got from him and the experience that I had that occasion at Walmart. So as you recognize, you look beyond what you just see and what you hear, and you begin to go to the impression and what you know about them. Well, Jesus shows up, and here they are. It wasn't just this physical, hey, this is Jesus, I recognize him. All of a sudden, because I recognize him, I know what he stands for, I know what he can do, and they begin to go out and get everybody who's sick. Because they know in Christ, in Jesus, in this man, there is a power of God that goes out from him and brings healing and brings hope. Listen, some of us have been sick for different periods of time. Some of you may still be working through some disease or some injury that happened or the repercussions of some surgery, and you're trying to recover and it seems like you're being stalled and you're trying to gain ground. Many of you know I was not here last weekend because of food poisoning. It was not my wife's doing. Okay, just clear the air right there. It was take out, take in food, which became take out without details. I'm just telling you, it was a violent 48 hours. It seemed like a very long time, by the way. Each minute goes slow. Okay, more severe things have happened to people in this room. We need God's help, and it may not just be physical healing. It might be emotional healing over things that we've experienced in our life that hurt us, broke us, somehow resentment or bitterness set in, and it has affected how we function in other relationships. We have been broken somewhere. So wherever healing or restoration needs to be made in your life, I want to encourage you this morning that you could recognize Jesus and be open to him if you're being introduced to him, maybe in a new way this morning. I want you to know that he heals. And he brings hope. And I want to square something away with you right here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm not telling you this because I'm a pastor. I'm just telling you this as a man. My faith in Christ is not based upon my calling as a pastor. Okay? It's not because I'm a pastor. Because I'm a pastor, I get to stand up and tell you in this format. But I got to tell you that I say these things outside of the occupation. Just as a man, just like you are man, woman, people. Okay, so I'm not telling you this because I have to. I get to tell you this because I want to, and it's true. And I've experienced him this way in my life, and I have seen him and experienced him this way in other people's lives. The interesting thing is, when they recognized him and they knew who he is, was, forever shall be, by the way, including today, that one of the many things he does is he brings healing and hope to people. He releases them from being oppressed. You and I can experience oppression, and after it gets lengthy, we just kind of call it life. And it becomes what we consider to be normal. And I want you to know that that is not normal in his kingdom and when he is king. That's not how he runs his heavenly community, okay? That's why we pray, let your kingdom come here on earth. Let your will be done here, just as it is in heaven. And so that's why we sing songs that talk about, send your glory here. Let your glory come in this place. We want heaven. your kingdom, your will to be done here. And so here he is on another occasion, because we read the Gospels, and this is how things were when he showed up. He shows up, they recognize him. And maybe this morning as you sit in this room, you may sense that there's something maybe just a little different. And this isn't in comparison to some other place or anything like that. The kingdom of heaven is way bigger than this church. And I just hope and pray that he just shows up and he would be himself among us. We could experience him and taste of him just a little more than when we walked in the place today. And this morning you're here and you may think, you know, there's something just a little bit, maybe just a little different here. And it's not just the music or just a preacher who occasionally wears blue jeans or purposely forgot his tie today or, gee, they seem friendly. Those are things that hopefully, you know, or you may notice, but it's about him being in this room. It's about him working upon our hearts by his Holy Spirit. And I want us to recognize that it's him. It's not just the music and it's not just the people. And it's him involved and present in all of this, but it's him that makes the difference. Because we could come here and go through the same motions, and if he's absent, it will mean zip. I want him here. There are people in this room that want him here. There's people in this room who need him to show up. That we could recognize that he's in the room and something's different. It says when they recognized him and they knew what he could do and his track record, his reputation, that they began to gather the sick people, the broken people, the hurt people. And begin to urge him, please let them touch the edge of your garment, the hem of your garment. Let them touch your fringe. I want to talk about this for a moment because this is very significant. You and I are removed from this time and we are removed from its culture. Okay? We live in the Western world here, man. We live in the United States of America. And I want to remind you that Jesus is not American. He was Jewish, raised in a Jewish culture, raised in a different era. And so we get to read these accounts about him, but we have to understand some things that lend to this truth about Jesus and how things happened. What was the significance about people wanting to touch the hem of his garment? And we read it in different places, or touch the tassel or the fringe of his garment. What was the significance? Well, of course, faith is part of this. Wouldn't happen without it, but I want you to know what the significance is. About they urged him that we could touch the hem of his garment. See, and I'm not going to give you Hebrew words because I will, pronounce them wrong. For I am not an expert in the Hebrew language. But what it translates to is the fringe of his garment. Or the tassels. You see, if you were to look in the Old Testament, it talked about that within God's instruction in their culture is that the men would have garments. And every layer of garment would, on four corners, they would have a braided tassel or fringe that would come from each layer of their garment, which eventually turned into what they call their prayer shawls that have tassels on the corner. Now, there was something significant about this, because when this was introduced in the book of Numbers in chapter 15, it was about, you will do this on your garment, men, or sons of God. You will do this because it will be a remembrance of my laws. 613 of them, by the way. 365 of them were prohibitions. Thou shall not. And the balance, whatever the math is, 248, those were encouragements of what to do, how to live. And by the way, when we read the word law in some of those contexts, it translates to walk, the word walk. See, they're not just like these rules that we have that, oh, it's laws, so it's rules. Listen, this is how I want you to walk. In other words, how we live life every day. These tassels, these what they call fringe, that had these 613 knots, which was the combining of 365 and I think 248. If the math is off, you know, you can let me know later, send me a note. And so here were these tassels that were supposed to be a continued reminder to the person who's wearing them and the people who would see them. It's interesting when it turned to a time where it turned into a prayer shawl, you would see them go to the synagogue and they would take this prayer shawl or prayer scarf, and as they prayed, they would put it over their head. Very significant. It's that I am shutting out the world and I am placing myself under God. A physical representation of a spiritual truth. So Jesus shows up in Jewish dress, tassels, braids, the fringe at the corners of his robe and tunic and the layers of clothing that he had on that day. And they said, if we could just allow the sick to touch your fringe, your tassels. It was as if they said, we want to be in touch with God. We want to be in touch with his law and walk with him. Because if we can walk with God, disease, sickness, and brokenness will go from our lives. It doesn't mean that every trial will be gone, every hardship will be gone. Hey, remember, it rains on those who are just and those who are unjust. It rains on us all. We all experience life. But if we will place ourselves and express humility that I believe in God, I believe in his word, and I will place myself covered by God and his word and his laws, that I could walk with him. How it was supposed to be in the beginning. God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Walked in right relationship with God. That's why Jesus came, was to restore us to God in right relationship. And that through faith in him and our profession of him, the kind of faith that says it changes the way I live, not just, yeah, I believe, but the kind of belief that affects my walk, your walk every day, the genuine faith through the struggles, through the hurting, through the stumbling, through the sin, and that personal relationship with him is restored. And these people came, much like the woman in John chapter 4 who snuck through the crowd and touched the hem, let me translate, touch the tassel, the fringe of his garment. And Jesus said, hold on. Power went out from me. And the woman was healed. There is something about the touch and getting in contact with God, because he is his word. And his word has authority. Let me put it to you this way. Look at Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 24, and I'm just going to move quickly and read there. If you want to write it down or go to the podcast, it'll be up in a couple days, and you can get this online at our website and listen to the message if you want. This is the time where Saul was fighting to hang on to his kingship, and David God had anointed to become king, yet David did not lift a hand against Saul, and people were spreading rumors about David and all of these things, and Saul was insecure, and Saul wanted to hang on to being king, and yet God had withdrawn that kingship from Saul and was giving it to another because of Saul's disobedience to God. And so Saul was on the pursuit, not of God's people's enemies, but was on pursuit of David himself. And so in one of these pursuits, Saul goes into a cave to relieve himself. He did not know that the cave he had chosen, David was already in with some men. David sneaks up near Saul, and without Saul noticing, David cuts a tassel from Saul's clothing. Moments later, David comes and bows and comes up behind and communicates with Saul and says, "Listen, those who said I'm pursuing your life, it is not so. For look, I could have taken your life and did not." And he presents and shows the tassel from Saul's garment. You see, this tassel represents authority. The authority of God, the authority of God's word. That we place ourselves under his authority. And those who are broken and sick and through faith reach out to God. Show an expression to God, a faith that says, "You're the one and only. And I believe upon your Son. I believe upon your word. I believe upon your law or the way I should live and I should walk. And that your word and who you are has all authority." Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me." Authority over sin. Whatever your struggle is, whatever your habit is, whatever keeps tripping you up from living how God has called you, I want you to know through Christ and through His blood, He has given you authority to overcome. You keep fighting the good fight of faith. Don't you throw in the towel, don't you give up. You struggle with sickness and disease. All authority has been given unto him over sickness, which came as a result of sin. And if he conquered sin, that includes all the symptoms that show up from sin. You and I were born into sin because of the sin in the beginning. But through Christ, he conquered sin. And when we place ourselves in his word and believe it so, that it is true, and we place ourselves in that faith and under his word, and we begin to walk with him, we confess that he is the one who has all authority over sin to release me from eternal damnation, to release me from consequences of sin in this life, to release me from sickness and its power and every other ripple effect that sin has caused that has plagued humanity. Christ has all authority over it. That is why it was so important to them that they said, "Let our sick come and touch the hem, the tassel, the fringe of your garment." For it was a physical expression of an inward faith. It was an outside action that was led by an inward motive and acknowledgement and proclamation that God is King and Jesus, you are His Son. And we believe upon you, His Word and His authority. And I can come with all my brokenness. I can come with all my oppression. I can come with all my spiritual problems. I can come with all my anxiety. I can come with my crummy, dark past, and I can bring it to you just as I am, for you have all authority in who you are to overcome these things in my life. You've died to redeem me. So this morning, right here in this place, those of you who are broken, those of you who are overwhelmed, those of you who have a history that still trips you up because of something that went on in your life, somebody hurt you, you had a bad experience, somebody somewhere, it doesn't matter if it was another church or it was a Christian and you took offense, whatever it is. You grew up and maybe don't know your family or who your dad is or your mom is. You've gone through some horrific things. Maybe you've been a victim in times or places. Maybe you struggle because you just were lost like the rest of us. Well, he has found you. So we're accountable for this. This revelation of his word comes to us. And now I am accountable because I have heard it and I have understand it to at least some comprehensible measure. That it brings me to a place of decision. Will I put my faith in him? And if so, will there be an outward expression that displays my faith to him? That I would place myself under his covering, his protection, and who he is. There are examples of this throughout the scripture, old and new. You see it here in the New Testament with Jesus on one occasion. The Gospel of John, where the woman with the issue of blood. You will see it in the Old Testament here when David and Saul. You will see it when Ruth takes the corner of Boaz's garment and places it over her. It was that I will be placed under your authority. I will live life and walk under your leadership. There are examples throughout the scripture about the significance. But because we don't live in that culture in that time and we don't wear garments like that, we have no idea what the significance is. It's about placing ourselves under his covering and believing upon him and saying, your word is true and you have all authority. And I place myself under it. Would you take away my brokenness that I could live in hope? Would you take away my sickness that I could live in healing and know what the Sabbath is, a day of rest? It's not like our Sabbath, our Sunday rolls around and sickness goes, oh, it's Sunday, it's the rest. So I'll leave you alone for today, but the other 6 days of the week, you're mine. A person who is sick never knows a Sabbath. They wake up with the same pain, the same gimp. And I'm telling you, and Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, can give you every day of rest from that disease, that sickness, that plague.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.